This is the Physical Activity Researcher Podcast, a podcast for researchers of sedentary behavior, physical activity, and sports. Join for a relaxed dialogue about research design, practicalities, and, well, anything related to research. Learn from your fellow researchers useful and relevant information that does not fit into formal content and limited space of scientific publications. And here is your host, researcher and entrepreneur, Ollie Tikkanen.
Yeah, and maybe going a little back to these variables and numbers. For example, if you have active play, I assume it's kind of average of amount of active play. Basically, this doesn't give an indication, is it like a percentage of children doing enough active play, or is it like, you know, you often have the active ones and the sedentary ones, and then the average is there, or it's that everyone is too low. Do you have any, does it give any indication of this difference in a way?
Yeah. Active play, in the case of active play or active transportation, tries to provide specific information for a specific domain where, for example, in the case of active play, there is, I would say, in general, not enough information. There is a general gap on this. And we have also difficulties just to assess active play. And then once you ask the countries to provide a grade and you see that they cannot provide the grade, then you identify you have a problem and you provide solutions, or you try to provide solutions. And also in the case of active transportation, and it is different as overall physical activity, which is the general indicator we know, and so on.
I don't have any specific questions in a way. What would you like to, where would you like to take the discussion next?
Well, the global metrics 5.0 is initiating the registration. So it started last January. We have around 15 countries registered at the moment. So some others, and they are with the registration process, and others trying to look for funding and so on. Sometimes also new countries, they need to be sure that they will have enough people, a certain group behind this or whatever. And I could say, or I could share with the people my experience, and also there are a lot of successful stories in the global metrics. For example, some countries, we identified that some regulations provide a better grade in indicators. And also other, they have created or implemented surveillance systems after having the basic provided by a report card, right? Or capacity building. So in the case of Uruguay, for example, we were out of the physical activity and health field, so almost nothing. A small amount of papers, I would say less than 5, published in general, not in, and then specifically in children, probably nothing in international journals. And then after being part of the global metrics, we had the opportunity just to improve our skills and also to build capacity in they were students, undergraduate students at that moment. And then now they are postgraduate students or even master students or students. And thanks to having this enrollment in the process and knowing what is another way of doing research and et cetera. So it's a good opportunity for the countries just to create a strong way of surveillance and also to make some agreements with governments. And I think this is a good way of joining those ones who had the knowledge and those ones who have the power to change things together, and then to propose solutions that will be for sure good for our kids and for their future lives.
Yeah. And if there's a new country, someone listening from a country that is not doing this yet, could you give kind of an idea that how much do you need time? How many people, how many man months, woman months, I don't know how to say it appropriately, but how much work is it about? How much do you need funding? Just kind of an idea that what is required to create a report card.
Well, it is not, I would say, easy, completely easy, of course, but it is not something impossible to achieve. So if there is an enthusiastic person who could lead it, I'm sure that inside the country, he or she could find or identify some experts just to create the expert group. And once they have the expert group, it is easier. Regarding funding, it depends on what you want to create. So you need to register the country, but also you need to create the report card. Sometimes in some countries it's quite cheap and in other countries more expensive. It could be ideal just to be in the final launch of the report or the Google report, but sometimes you don't have enough resources and then you cannot go there. It depends. But also we provide some pieces of advice to look for funding. So actually, we will have one webinar in April in 2 days, just for half of the world, one day and the rest. And we will celebrate also our 10th anniversary in May with a webinar, also providing successful stories and information and trying to help people who would like to enroll in the Google Metrics. And well, I just recommend contact us to know more and to study and analyze the specific situation, and maybe we can provide help.
Yeah, and you said that you first form an expert group. How many people you usually have expert group? Is there some requirements for it? Do you need to have a kind of different kind of researchers there, or who what kind of persons do you need in the expert group?
Yes, well, this is a very good question because this is not a required number of experts. So depends on the country, because it is not the same. The USA, the US, Spain, for example. No, and then I would say something feasible is it's between 6 and 10, I would say, at least in my case, because they are experts, so that means they have a lot of things to do, they're busy. Then if you have a lot of people, maybe it is difficult just to make appointments, for example, or something like that. This is one thing. And the kind of experts, so I would say as much heterogeneity as possible. So people from different fields, imagine pediatric, so in medical sciences, or someone who is from the education in primary school, someone who is from government, someone who is expert in physical activity, someone who is probably expert in physical fitness. So from different research groups as well, even if they have the same topic, physical activity, from different universities or research groups, they can provide different views or strategies or something like that. So this is something that helps a lot to create a strong report card.
And for example, if you have organize sport and physical activity? Do you think it should be someone who knows the club sport? I don't know, how do you define the like the organized? How do you measure it? And then the active transportation is very, very kind of different. So what kind of persons do you think you should have for this kind of variables?
Well, it is not just to have people, specific people for each of the indicators. So as all the indicators are related to physical activity. So for example, if you have someone from the government, but it's someone from environmental sciences, so maybe he or she is from the government and knows about public policies, but nothing about physical activity, public policy. So then we need someone from the Council of Sport, for example, who knows the programs and the budget and how everything works and et cetera. Someone from the pediatric field. So if you identify someone who is a specialist in skin disease, so it is not working for the per group. So you need someone who knows in general health of children's health or physical activity benefits or something like that. So you don't need exactly one sport per indicator.
Yeah. And how long is usually the process to create the report card from the you have been able to create the expert group? How long it usually takes to have it ready? It's just to give an idea. Yeah,
I would say it depends on the size of the country, because if the country is really big, sometimes and it is also your first edition, so you need to explore very well the universities, government, etc. But if in our case in Uruguay, it took several months. So at that time, we enrolled in 2017, and the report card should have been ready in 2018. So we had a few months for that. But now we have increased the frequency and the period. We have 4 years between each global metric release, and this allow us to do the process in another way. So then 2024 will be for registration. So also countries contacting their colleagues just to create the per groups and so on. And then in 2025, they will start just reviewing information and so on. And we have somehow scheduled, but it is mandatory, especially the last part of this schedule, because sometimes some countries, they need to organize in a different way during the first part, just to seek funding or something like that. So it is somehow flexible in the sense.
This podcast is sponsored by Fibian. Fibian is an accurate sitting and physical activity tracking device and analysis platform. It is a great tool for projects that aim for behavior change in sedentary behavior and incidental physical activity. Fibian provides easy-to-understand PDF and web browser reports for participants. Other features include comparisons to recommendations, linking results to health risks, achievement cards, and interactive goal-setting tool. In addition, Fibian provides an API that allows for easy integration to other systems and applications. Learn more about Fibian at fibian.com/research. Fibian, from researchers to researchers.
All right, so now we have a kind of general idea of the how do you form an expert group and how much work is it. Maybe a little bit going back to the grading and this kind of thing. So how do you feel the sensitivity of the grading, that how much countries are changing the grade? Like maybe they are slowly going worse if they are not doing anything. But if they have good initiatives, how easy it is to go. Of course, you have the minus and plus there also, so it creates more sensitivity. How much countries are, let's say, moving up the variables?
Well, as we have a review of these grades, and the rationale must be linked to the grade. So otherwise, we say, well, and it will be agreement among the among the reviewers. So I think there's not a lot of changes in the last version, but I know there is a big discussion inside the expert group in different countries, especially because, you know, when you have someone who represents public policies or some sectors, and they see somehow low grades, then sometimes there is no good agreement. So maybe they are thinking that this is not the reality, but it is not accurate. It is not exact. We don't provide 20% of children report physical activity every day. In another country, the same. No, we provide C, B, and then we compare. We can compare. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like a good way of doing it. And how do you see this changing the children's activity? Let's say that you have some country that is not good in, let's say, active transportation or active play. How would that country benefit recognizing that we are bad in these variables? How do they work with these researchers who do this? Maybe the politicians hear about it, the decision makers. Could you give an idea? How do you really make a change?
It is something that takes a lot of time. So it's a long process, because I would say role metrics provides the opportunity just to connect with decision makers at the beginning. So, and they, from my point of view, also, of course, they see this a good opportunity just to see that the science is behind process and so on. But maybe, I don't know if they are so happy when they see the results, because we are aware of that. Yeah. And so the next step is just to say, okay, these are the information. And as researchers, we can only provide neutral or information. So this is what we identify. Changes must be done by them. And when there is a good relationship between academic and government, some good things appear or emerge. In some countries, they have relationships with governments. And yeah. So in my case, we had the situation, the first report card was with one government and the second one with another one. So they have contributed both to the role matrix process and the report card, but the implementation of actions after the launch, we need more time and we need more dialogue with them for that.
Mm. And how do you see, like, these are reported in a scientific event? Does it usually get to the main news of the country? So when this kind of report card is published, does it get to the main evening news in those countries?
Well, as most of the participants, the country leaders, are part of academia or they are researchers, so we move in the field of publications and conferences, etc. So and we, this is our job as well. No, then we need to do it related with we need to report, and also it's our commitment with the society, right? But I would say that we have published also the impact of the world metrics in general, and we are preparing as well, a group of authors are preparing a new paper, analyzing also the impact. And we can see that in radio, television, and other social media, of course, and other sources, we have presence, and especially after the release. And this is important also, because we want to go to the society, not just to the journals. And this is all the reason why we create the report cards. These are a tool that must be easy to identify for decision makers. If you create a research paper, so they don't read it directly, and also they don't understand what you are putting there. So workshops with them, also presence in at school level, or I mean staff and in schools and so on. It is relevant to disseminate the information.
Yeah, sounds good. And this is a great initiative for children and adolescents. Is there a similar one for adults?
Yes, I think nowadays there's different initiatives, not only for adults, also for early years. So for adults, there is the country cards led by the Global Observatory of Physical Activity. So a very good initiative for that. And as I told, the early years, so children below 5 years old, and which is the range that we don't cover right now. It is the Sunrise study as well, that's collecting data around the world. And I think these are good initiatives as well, trying to harmonize and organize the information to provide accurate or as much as possible accuracy in our field.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm having tomorrow a presentation. We had a project with 4-year-old children in Finland. We measured with the accelerometer, and it was quite interesting results. For example, like in the kindergarten, that we compared the days when they were outside and days when they were inside, and for example, just getting the kids out really increased the activity, and also that in the kindergarten, kids were very active, but then in the weekend when they were at home, they could be very, very sedentary at home. So I think it's the parents' influence, and maybe it was good that they were in kindergarten, so basically all get the same opportunities to be active. But I think it was very, very interesting findings, and some of them quite surprising when you objectively measure and just start to look different things. How do you see this going to, like, of course not all of these can be measured objectively or maybe device based. There's government and community and environment, but the ones that can be measured objectively, how do you see, do you see that it could be possible to really increase the amount of objective or more like device based data in these variables?
I personally think it is a promising future for that, because more and more countries, they are increasing their capacity. It is not just having the budget to buy the accelerometers, but also the capacity and the people to collect data. It is a hard logistic, and most of us have been involved in data collection with accelerometry, and all of us we know, and also to process this amount of information, and also to analyze the data would there were with improvements also in devices as well and in methodology. So I think it will be a good feeling in the near future, as well, of course, as a self-report will be another tool, because both of them have advantages and disadvantages, and we need to cross both just to have the advantages of both, at least.
Yeah, so sounds good. This has been very interesting discussion. Is there anything else you would like to add in the discussion?
No, I think we have covered most of the topics related to the global metrics. So, well, I'm just open for everyone who would like to know more about the global metrics, and also just to recommend the website, our website, or social media profiles, and to know more. And well, happy to be here and to share this experience with the audience.
Yeah. And maybe for the listeners' background, it's end of the week doing this recording, and it's 9:15 PM. So we survived, and if Javier was at some point stopping, I think I got my allergy, so I was sneezing and muting my mic, and you were like looking at the video like, what? Yeah. No. But we survived. Yeah, this was a pleasure, and maybe we have another recording at some point, like about different countries and maybe about the 5.0, the new initiative. This was an enjoyable chat, so thank you, Javier.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for joining us this week on Physical Activity Researcher Podcast. If you like the show, make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing or following the show on Twitter. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. If you found value in the show, we would really appreciate a rating on Apple Podcasts or whichever app you're using. Or if you would, in a real old school way, simply tell a friend about the show. It would be a great help for us. We have a fantastic lineup of guests for forthcoming episodes, so be sure to tune in. Thank you all for your support, and have a great day.